The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Hope you had a great weekend. And we got a lot to talk about today. And it's just, folks, unbelievable, just really unbelievable what Joe Biden is doing to this country. And we're going to get to his commencement address at Howard University in just a few moments. But first, I want to give you an update on what's happening at the border. Now, Biden is taking credit here. He's saying, hey, I told you people everything was going to be hunky-dory. But it turns out the only reason things are hunky-dory, and by the way, they're not hunky-dory all the way, but the only reason we haven't seen a massive invasion is because the Texas National Guard is down there on the border with guns drawn, daring people to step foot on American soil. And these people are not stupid. By the way, over the weekend, they caught an Afghan national crossing the border near San Diego. This Afghan national happened to be on the terrorism watch list. Now, many of you are probably saying, well, that's great news. Thank goodness that they caught the guy. My concern is, who did they miss? Because we know that thousands and thousands of people have been able to sneak into the country undetected. And I'm glad they got this guy, but I'm concerned about who they didn't get. And I think all of us ought to be concerned. I think it's very interesting that this Afghan national was captured in San Diego. So you folks in California better keep your eyes open. There's a pretty good chance there are Islamic radicals living among you that were allowed to cross the border because of Joe Biden. So anyway, now these illegals are coming across, not in the tens of thousands, but once the National Guard leaves, you better believe the floodgates are going to open. And I noticed something very interesting that's happening down in Texas, that most of the people coming across are not families, mommy and daddy and little children. No, the people that are coming across are military-aged young men, overwhelmingly military-aged young men, 17, 18, 19, 20 years old. And another thing I've noticed, and just observations here, and I'm in the radio business, and so I observe, and we try our best to describe scenes for you, but these are not people that are sweating profusely, and I've just noticed this. These people who have apparently traveled 2,000, 3,000 miles on foot, they're crossing our border, they're clean-shaven, they've got the latest hairstyles, a lot of hair gel going on. They're wearing very nice clothes. Many of them have the luggage with the wheels on. There's something very, very strange about these young men that are coming across the border. They don't look like they've been walking for 2,000 miles. It looks as though all of this has been coordinated. And there is some reporting that the Biden administration has been working with the Mexicans to coordinate the illegals coming across our southern border. And if that is the case, then I believe, ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States should be placed on trial for high crimes and misdemeanors. Because at that point, not only has President Biden violated his oath of office to protect this nation from all enemies, foreign and domestic, but he has also committed treason against this country. So the Biden administration is bending over backwards to coordinate this massive influx of illegal aliens. Now, what I find truly fascinating is that people are really getting upset within the Democrat Party, and specifically black voters. And the reason why is Biden is relocating some of the illegal aliens into black communities. And that is really aggravating people in the Chicago area. Now, I'm going to play some audio here. This is from the South Shore neighborhood. This is an area where Michelle Hussein Obama grew up. It has been historically a black neighborhood. And the black citizens are infuriated because they got word they're going to have 500 illegals moving into their neighborhood. Cut number 11.
Politically, having over 500 people in our community would completely wipe out any interest we have. Yeah. Are you aware that there are immigrant advocates at state houses all over this country?
That's right.
Who are advocating for non-citizen voting in local elections? What if that happened here? That would change the mindset of what we as a black community need to thrive here in Chicago. That's a concern of ours. This is much bigger than the mayor of Chicago or Chicago Police Department. This is an effort to destroy our neighborhoods and silence our voices even further.
So let me cut to the bottom line. Don't you be putting them brown people in my neighborhood. That's what they're saying. Now, at face value, could you imagine? I can't imagine a white city councilman getting up and saying, we don't want those brown people in our neighborhood. They would throw you out of the country. One set of rules for them, another set of rules for the rest of us. But they raise a pretty good point, actually. And look, I get it. All right, I completely understand their concerns. These are the concerns, by the way, that Tucker Carlson expressed. Now, understand what's happening on Chicago's South Side right now. They understand what is about to happen. They're about to be replaced, right? And this is the argument that got Tucker Carlson in so much trouble with Media Matters and Mediaite, all these left-wing organizations. Because they said that what Tucker Carlson was warning people about was, in fact, racist. That the reason why the Democrats were bringing so many Hispanics across the border was to replace all the white people. And so when he said that, people were like, oh, that's racist. I can't believe Tucker Carlson was allowed to say that on the TV. That's racist. No, not really. Because the black citizens of Chicago are saying the exact same thing. You heard the guy, right? He's really concerned that these folks are actually going to be given the right to vote. And what happens, just want to throw this out there, but what happens when you've got a huge demographic of people being shoved into your neighborhood? They're going to block vote. So in essence, what the people over at the South Shore are concerned about is that the next mayor might be Julio Sanchez. That's what they're concerned about. But I'm telling you, this is wonderful to watch. And I really want to be sympathetic to the people of the South Shore of Chicago. I truly do. But ladies and gentlemen, we tried to warn them. We tried to. That was the whole point. As a matter of fact, Donald Trump lived up to all of his campaign promises with these good and decent people. And black people voted for the president more so than any other time in recent Republican history. But it wasn't good enough because, you see, in Chicago's South Side, 97% of the people in that neighborhood voted for Joe Biden. So you got it, folks. They voted for this. And as much as I want to feel bad for these people, and I that's the good Christian side of me. I feel sympathy for the, but you can't. And you got to get up and say, you know what, folks? This is your fault. You did this. And if you want to change it, might I just recommend voting for the Republican? And let's see what happens. Let's see if something will change. You know what I would do if I was Donald Trump? And I've already sent a message to his campaign about this. If I were Donald Trump, I would go and hold a rally on the South Shore of Chicago. See what happens. I guarantee you the Republicans would get some converts because they're sick and tired of this and they know exactly what's about to happen. On the plus side, probably going to get a couple of really good taco joints out of all of this. I'm just saying, you got to look for the silver lining, people of Chicago's South Side. It's, you don't want to laugh, but it's kind of funny, right? I mean, we tried to tell everybody this was going to happen, right? And again, anytime a white person says what the black folks just alluded to in Chicago, we get called racist. No, I haven't been drinking, Dylan. I'm a little giddy here. I just think it's kind of funny. We tried to warn him. All right, we're going to go to the phones here. We also have an update on this situation in New York, and this is absolutely horrible. So Mayor Eric Adams is enraged because they got, 1,000 illegals? The poor people of Brownsville are getting 4,000 a day. New York City gets 1,000, and they're freaking out. So what did Eric Adams do? He bussed. So Greg Abbott put everybody in a Greyhound bus and drove them to New York City and dumped them off. So now Eric Adams is getting his own Greyhound buses, and he's dumping the illegals off in the rich suburbs of New York City. And people are starting to get upset about that. And especially in two communities where the government stepped in and they told these hotels, hey, look, if you house all of these illegals, we're going to give you triple whatever you normally charge for a room. And what did the hotels do? They immediately evicted 24 homeless military veterans, kicked them out on the street. They also canceled two weddings that are coming up in a couple of weeks. They called the brides-to-be and they said, yeah, sorry, girls, you're going to have to find somewhere else to book your wedding. And they're literally kicking them out to accommodate the illegals. This is what it looks like, folks, when Americans go last, right? Illegals first, Americans last. That's what's going on here. And it's only going to get worse. But here's the kick in the pants. The federal government is paying to house illegal aliens while kicking homeless military veterans to the curb. Now, I've asked a question for many years, and this question always gets me in trouble with the left. But I think it's a decent question to ask. What happens when you've only got room in the homeless shelter for one person? Do you pick the homeless veteran, the military veteran from America, or do you pick the illegal alien? What happens when you've got a wedding venue, but you've only got room for one wedding party? Do you pick the Americans or do you pick the illegals? Those are the questions we've been asking over the years. And everyone says that's just a ludicrous thing, that America is such a great and bountiful country, there's room for everybody. And that is simply not the case. But ladies and gentlemen, what kind of a country do we live in where our tax dollars are going to take care of able-bodied young Mexican and Venezuelan men while our Vietnam veterans sleep under a shelter? 844-747-8868. That's our phone number, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Show. Hi, Todd Stearns here, and I want to tell you about Calitrin. It not only helps you shed pounds, but Calitrin also gives you an energy boost. Here's my friend Elizabeth from Calitrin.
Hey, y'all. That's right. Calitrin is not just for weight loss. I mean, with Calitrin, it doesn't have any drugs, no stimulants, but it revs up your metabolism naturally through rebuilding that lean muscle tissue. So you do experience side benefits like better energy, natural joint pain. It's even great for sleep when you're taking it at bedtime. So it really is a great health supplement that's also going to help you lose weight too. Now, our 90-day supply is where our huge 86% success rate is, so it's not going to be a quick fix for weight loss. It's not going to be a fad product, no drugs, no stimulants, but it is proven successful and it's proven safe, even with medication. So you can go on our website, toploss.com, to check it out. And if you have questions, you can also call us toll-free, 1-833-TOP-LOSS.
And Elizabeth, be sure to use that promo code Todd. Oh, wow. I forgot to tell you guys about this one. So this is a doozy. Turns out Greg Abbott dumped a busload of illegals right off at the front door of the vice president's mansion in Washington, D.C. And look, I appreciate this, and I appreciate the intent here. And the governor wants the sanctuary cities run by Democrats to feel the pain. I get it. But the problem is, these illegals are not going to stay in Washington, D.C. They're going to scatter all over the country. That's what's going to happen. And my concern is this. We don't need that to happen. We need to send these illegals right back across the border to wherever they came from. Every single one of them. Every single one of them. So there you go. Oh, by the way, one more note, and then we're going to go to the phones here. We have video up on our website showing just dozens and dozens of these military-aged young men from across the border standing at airports waiting to board airplanes bound for Dallas, Texas. Now, these illegals have no documentation. So my question is, how are they getting on board those planes? And our sources are telling us that the TSA is turning a blind eye, and they're just literally letting these illegals onto the airplanes. And you and I, ladies and gentlemen, the taxpayers of America, we're footing the bill for all of this. Somebody's going to be flying first class from Brownsville to Dallas, Texas, courtesy of the American taxpayer. All right, 844-747-8868. Let's go to Victor in Maryland. All right, Victor, what's on your mind?
Let me tell you what's going to happen next. I heard this on a talk show this morning. They're running out of room to put these illegal aliens, hotels, etc. Guess what's coming next? You get a knock on your front door. Sir, I understand you have a spare room. We're going to take it and put an illegal alien in your house. Over my dead body, they're going to do it. I'll kill them first if they try to do it to my house.
Wow, so you think they're going to start going door to door and shoving these people into your spare bedroom?
Yes.
Wow. I hadn't thought about that, but Victor, you're right. I mean, sooner or later, they're going to run out of space. There's some reporting out of New York City, the beautiful Roosevelt Hotel, right next to the Grand Central Terminal. They're going to be housing illegals in that beautiful facility.
I mean, I'm really scared to death they're going to pull this stunt on us.
All right, Victor, I hope that's not the case, but if it is, I think you're going to have a lot of other Americans opening up the front door with a shotgun in their hands. Thanks for that call. Let's go to Connor in Boston. Hey, Connor, what's going on?
Oh, brother, I'm going to tell you, that just got my blood boiling right there. I'm telling you, they ever come knocking on my door here in Boston, they're going to be staring on the business end of a 12-gauge shotgun and my Glock.
There, you sound like a Southerner, Connor, but well said.
I'll tell you that right now. And, you know, I'm telling you right now, it doesn't end with this Biden administration. It's like you cannot make this stuff up. When it comes to illegals, every single one of them should be sent back to where they came from. I was telling what I called in. I think that we should have an ability to FOIA request the Biden administration to see how much of our tax dollars are going to pay for these illegal aliens. And we should have the ability to opt out. And if we can't opt out, we're out of protest. We're just not going to pay for that, because I am vehemently against paying for anybody who comes to this country illegally. There's no such thing as somebody who comes here the non-legal way, and that's justifiable. No, it's illegal, and they all, including all of them, they all ought to be sent back to where they came from, and they are not cutting the line like all the good people who immigrate to this country illegally.
Connor, we got about 20 seconds here, but these do not look like impoverished people. They look like they stepped out of the pages of a fashion magazine.
Well, I think really what they are, Todd, is they're scammers more so than anything. And, you know, Joe Biden is the biggest buyer for all those types of things. I mean, he's not a very smart guy in general, so I guess who's surprised about that?
Well, it's a fair point. All right, Connor, good to hear from you, and keep triggering the leftist up in Boston over at Harvard Square.
You know what? I'm not there today, but the next time I'm over there, I'll play your show as you know, loud as I possibly can and trigger the you know, the leftists up here. Illegal aliens, we do not want you here.
All right. Connor, well said. Ladies and gentlemen, do you want the illegals in your town, in your community, in your schools? 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
If you are looking for MyPillow, you will not find it in the big box stores. And the reason why, it's pretty awful. MyPillow's been canceled by the cancel culture mob. And that's why Mike Lindell wants to sell directly to you. And that comes with some great savings. You're going to be able to get the lowest price in the history of MyPillow for their classic standard pillow. Normally $69.98, now only $19.98 with the promo code STARNS. MyPillow does more than just pillows. They have over 150 products. Everything from sleepwear to slippers, even doggy beds and human beds. Go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. And use the promo code Starnes or call 800-544-8939. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes or call 1-800-544-8939. Use the promo code Starnes.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Program. Happy to have you with us on this very busy news day. A lot happening. But this story about illegals being given preferential treatment over wedding parties, over homeless military veterans, is just absolutely obscene. I want to go to the phone lines here. Let's start in Maine. Wayne is listening to us on WLOB. Hey, Wayne, what's your story?
Hello, Todd. Thank you for taking my call. You have no idea how true what you're saying is. Not only is it going to happen a lot more, but it has already happened, and it happened to me and my 21-month-old son 20 years ago. And I'd like to tell you just briefly how that happened. I was going through a custody battle with my wife at the time. We were Maine residents, and she had fled the state to live in another state. And I was on my own, and she and I had a lot of financial problems. Our son actually had cancer. There were a lot of health issues. Long story short, we were Maine residents, and we, at one point in time, I just simply couldn't keep up with the billing anymore, the bills and the payments and the rent, and we moved into the Portland Family Shelter while I applied for the first time in my life for public assistance. And we stayed in the Portland Family Shelter for 2 months in Portland, Maine. And basically, there were a lot of African immigrants there at the time, coming in mostly from Northern Africa. And my son and I were one of the few American families, one of only three or four that I ever saw there that were actually American, already American resident.
And what happened to you and your son?
Well, what happened basically was that out of the blue, with no prior notice, the director of the residence told us that we had to leave. We had been there 2 months at that time. A lot of other families had been there a lot longer. Some families were there as long as a year. And I'd like to tell you how they did that.
Well, real quick here, because we have a lot of folks waiting. But what happened? How did they just booted you guys out?
Absolutely. And the way that they did that was when you sign in, you have to agree to take the first place that's offered. And so that's what gives them their legal excuse. But the reality is literally absolutely everybody turns down several places. They basically go residency shopping, which we did ourselves because the residences that they first had us go to were very kind of scummy. And I actually found an apartment, and the landlord said we could move in. It was in a nice neighborhood, but he needed about 3 or 4 weeks to finish renovating it. And he gave us a move-in date. And knowing that we had a move-in date, they brought us in unannounced and kicked us out. My son and I spent 5 or 6 days sleeping in a car. And then due to an insurance claim for a minor traffic accident, I used that money to move us into a Travelodge motel where we stayed for the remaining 3 weeks until we could move into our new residence.
What an insane story. And but you're doing well now and everything, though, with your family, and you're doing good.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely doing well. That's the only time in my life I've ever taken public assistance of any kind. But I want people to know, if they're listening, that these programs exist to serve a political and an ideological function. They're not really about helping American citizens in need. And I know that firsthand, and that was 20 years ago. It's only gotten worse.
All right. Well, Wayne, I'm so glad that things worked out for you, and you did everything by the book. And this is a horrible thing that's happening, folks. I've been trying to tell folks, listen up. This is going to impact all of us. Sooner, there are only so many resources available. And with the numbers of illegals projected to come in, 400,000 illegals a month, we're talking about mega city size populations coming in. And we're just not going to be able to. We're not going to be able to take care of Americans and the illegals. So somebody has to get the short end of the stick. And based on what we are already seeing, it's looking like the Americans are going to be getting the short end of the stick. All right, let's go to Jimmy in North Carolina. Hey, Jimmy, what's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing? How's it going?
It's going well. What's on your mind, Jimmy?
Yes, so what you were saying earlier about them coming in and them getting in the hotels and then not even needing IDs to get on a plane, right?
That's
therefore,
right.
They're probably not going to need an ID to go vote. Was this the plan all along?
Could be. I mean, we're looking at, for example, Washington, D.C., where they passed a bill that will allow non-citizens, including illegals, to vote in local elections. So, I mean, if they're getting a fake ID or some sort of a fake Social Security number, yeah, it's certainly possible, Jimmy.
Well, then let's throw the criminal records in there, too.
What do you mean?
You know, if you got a criminal record, why throw them voters in there?
Well, that's a good point. Again, I'm telling you, Jimmy, it's one set of rules for illegals and another set of rules for all the rest of us. I mean, that's really what this is all about. They're creating two different societies here.
That's it.
All right, Jimmy, appreciate that call. Good. I mean, look at something for you to think about, folks. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. Let's go to Michael in Louisiana. Hey, Michael, what's up?
Hey, Todd. Based on what I heard this morning, now my orchestra and Dumb Butt President's bringing them in as legals because my orchestra put out a video telling them exactly how to get in, what to say, what to do, and they got some kind of app they can look at on the phone and go to the website, and all they can do is walk across the border. They don't have to swim the river no more. They just walk across all the border crossing points and tell them what they're supposed to tell them they can get in. Now they're legal.
Michael, just think about this. What is the one thing that has not happened? The one thing that hasn't happened is that the Republicans have not started impeachment proceedings against Alejandro Mayorkas.
I question that, too. You know, they bring him up there all the time and browbeat him, but they don't ever do nothing to him.
They do not.
Now they pull the sack over the Republican's head with this little trick they got going on.
Well, but, I mean,
by bringing them in legal, now they can let them vote and all this other stuff, see?
That's it. That's it. And look, this is what's so brilliant about it. Everybody knows the Democrats cheat. Everybody knows that, and especially in Chicago. And that's why you got all those black citizens racing Kane, because they know that what's about to happen to them, they've been doing for a long time, and now they realize the jig is up.
You know, listen, my wife and I, we got the carpet 4 foot of our bed praying about this country. We're just sick to our stomachs. We just can't stand it. You know, I don't know what to do. We're just, like I said the other day, you know, we're being held hostage by these bureaucrats.
We are being held hostage by Republicans and Democrats. I'm telling you right now, Michael, and I appreciate that call. Folks, it's true. Why have we not started impeachment proceedings against Alejandro Mayorkas? What about Joe Biden? Joe Biden has clearly violated his oath of office. And yep, we're not doing anything about it. Not a single thing. Oh, by the way, and now Congressman James Comer, who's been leading the main investigation against Joe Biden, says that all of their informants are now gone. They've gone missing. How does that happen? Cut four.
Did you just say that the whistleblower or the informant is now missing?
Well, we're hopeful that we could find the informant. Now, remember, these informants are kind of in the spy business. So they don't make a habit of being seen a lot or being high profile or anything like that. We have basic information with respect to what the informant has alleged, and it's very serious. It alleges that Joe Biden, when he was vice president, was involved in a quid pro quo with a foreign country in exchange for foreign aid. This is a very serious accusation. All the FBI has to do is say, yeah, we looked into it, and it wasn't a credible informant. But they won't answer our questions.
Are there whistleblowers or informants missing right now?
Well, with what we've investigated and the people that we've tracked down, going back to the CEFC, the two main players in that business, as well as all the Americans that were involved in the different Biden influence peddling schemes, as well as the Serbian national, the 9 of the 10 people that we've identified that have very good knowledge with respect to the Bidens, they're one of three things. Maria, they're either currently in court, they're currently in jail, or they're currently missing.
Okay. So, look, I hate to break this to you. I don't think we're going to see anything come of this Hunter Biden stuff. I hope it does, but I wouldn't get your hopes up too high. How does that happen? 9 out of your 10 whistleblowers go missing? Come on. All right. We got to take a break. We're going to get right back to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Are you ready to welcome the illegals into your neighborhoods? Because that's what's going to happen. They're going to show up in the dark of night. And folks, pay attention here. It's going to happen in smaller towns and communities. That's where this is going next. They've got no choice with the numbers coming across that border. Many of you folks know that I've started to lose a little bit of weight. It's going to be a long process, but I'm pretty encouraged by that. As a matter of fact, I had a delicious salad last night. It was drenched in ranch salad dressing, but it was the thought that counts, right? But I've been trying this new product. They've come on board as a sponsor. They're called Calitrin, and it's made right here in Tennessee, by the way. And this is pretty amazing stuff. I've been taking it for a couple of weeks now. It is a stimulant-free and drug-free weight loss pill, and this is really amazing. It's done some pretty incredible things. Again, first of all, I'm starting to lose weight, and it's also helping me sleep better at night, and it's even helping with my joint pain. Back in the day, I was a marathon runner, and my knees are reminding me of that now. But the great thing about Calitrin is 100% safe, and it actually works. Really suppresses the appetite, but I love the sleep part of it. And since I've been taking Calitrin, I've gone from getting 3-4 hours of sleep a night to 8 hours of sleep every night. It's been unbelievable because Calitrin actually gives your body back what it needs. Now, I want you to give them a call and get some information. I think this is a great product for you to consider. 833-TOP-LOSS is the telephone number, 833-TOP-LOSS, or you can go to their website, toploss.com. That's TOPLOSS.com. And all the information is there. And be sure to use that promo code Todd. Again, toploss.com. Join me. I mean, it'd be kind of fun if we all kind of lost a few pounds together for summertime. And you can do it at toploss.com. Use the promo code Todd. All right, welcome back. Let's get to the phones here. Statesville, North Carolina, William on the line. WSIC, our great affiliate there. Hi, William. What's going on?
Hey, Todd. Somebody made the comment last week about making Mexico the 51st state.
Yes.
It's not going to work. It's not going to work. And here's why. We can't manage the states that we already have established now as it is. So that's just kicking the can down the road. It's not going to help. But here's the thing. Put up a trespassing sign on your residence. If somebody illegal, immigrant, migrant, whatever you want to call them, we know what they are. They show up at your doorstep, tell them to leave, you're not welcome. And if they don't want to and they're persistent on staying, then you treat it as a home invasion. Now, people, you can take that however way you want to take it. If you want to take it as a threat, take it as a threat. I look at it as a promise, because if they step on my property, I'm going to tell them no. Simple. No. And even if I had the room and the space for them, his answer still no. And that's what we need to do.
But William, well, let me jump in here. Let me jump in here, William, because there was a rancher down in Arizona who actually did that, a 73-year-old guy by the name of George Kelly. He's got a big ranch down there, and all of these illegals were on his property, and he opened fire killing one, and now he's been charged with murder, even though these guys invaded our nation and the sovereignty of our nation. And it seems to me that America failed this man by not protecting the border and allowing these. And we don't know who these people are. A lot of them are drug cartel members.
Well, I understand what you're saying, Todd, but this is what, you know, history's repeating itself. You know, people want to realize it or not, this civil war is happening all over again. Here we are, the government trying to tell us what we can and can't do with our lives. That happened back in the 1800s, and here we are again. Here we are again.
I do wonder, though, maybe, just maybe, the answer here, I mean, if we really want to resolve this issue, it's not going to matter if they send all these illegals to the white neighborhoods. But if they start sending all of these illegals into predominantly black communities, to what that would, and again, we just saw this with Chicago's South Side. I mean, they are enraged over this. It makes you wonder, well, maybe that's the answer here. Maybe we send all the illegals to the black community. They get riled up and say, we got to secure the border, and the Democrats have no choice.
Well, either way, the government's taking care of them, whether they come across the border or not. So just keep them down there in their neck of the woods and give them their cell phones and subsidies and everything else.
Courtesy of the American taxpayer, by the way. Courtesy of the American taxpayer, they're getting cell phones. It's disgusting. All right, William, appreciate that call. Let's go to Charles in North Carolina. Hey, Charles, what say you?
Hey, Todd. Like you, I've just been enraged all weekend watching what's happening at the border. And I tell you what I think needs to happen, Todd, and we've talked about this before, but I think Greg Abbott, the governor of Texas, needs to immediately address the citizens of Texas and call up, I'm going to say, 500,000 Texans. And not only ask for the citizens of Texas to go defend the border, but extend that invitation to every state in the union, as well as to the Border Patrol, as well as to the current and former members of the military, to join the state of Texas in repelling an invasion, because Joe Biden is violating his oath of office by not enforcing Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution, which is to guarantee a state the right not to be invaded by a foreign power. And furthermore, Todd, I think that the governor needs to employ road spikes as these buses try to leave. The Texas Air National Guard helicopters need to get in front of the aircraft before they can take off. And I think he should also ask the Texas state legislature convene a special session and demand the immediate impeachment or resignation of Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Alejandro Mayorkas, and if that's not done, the state of Texas is no longer going to recognize Joe Biden as the president of the United States, and they're not going to recognize his authority because he's a traitor. That's what needs to happen. That's the kind of resolve we're going to have to create a constitutional crisis and confrontation to get something done.
And maybe that's where we have to go, Charles, to resolve all of this. But I think it has to be the state of Texas. However, if in fact Texas is busing those illegals across their state lines, then I think the good people of Louisiana and Arkansas and Oklahoma, I think they've got the right to send their National Guard troops down to stop that from happening and to stop their borders from being violated. Charles, appreciate that call. Wise words. Folks, we've got to take a quick break. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
All right, hello everybody, welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. We are broadcasting border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. And we're honored that you have chosen to hang out with us noon to 3 Eastern. Our telephone number, it's a toll-free number, 844-747-8868. Again, our number, 844-747-8868. May I just say that the fight between Team DeSantis and Team Trump is getting really ugly. Now, one of the things I respect about Team Trump is at least they call out who they're attacking, right? If they're going after somebody, then by golly, they're going to call them out by name. But Team DeSantis isn't like that. They're a little sneaky, a little squirrely. Anyway, over the weekend, there were dueling events. President Trump was supposed to hold a big outdoor rally in Des Moines, and then Ron DeSantis was holding a picnic somewhere. And bad weather, tornado watch was issued, and so Trump said, you know what, we're not going to do this. We're going to have to postpone this rally because of the tornado watch. Well, Team DeSantis is giving Trump the what for, and they're basically mocking President Trump for not coming to Iowa to do a campaign event during the middle of a tornado watch, as if somehow Team Trump conspired with the National Weather Service to issue a tornado watch, which did not happen. By the way, Team DeSantis is also alleging that the real reason that Trump didn't want to show up is because the crowd was not large. Again, I mean, I don't think that was true. I mean, the crowd size I saw waiting to get in was larger than the people showing up to eat a hamburger with Ron DeSantis. And even Fox News called out the DeSantis rally. Cut number 18.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because when I saw that, because I heard he was having a rally, I couldn't help but go to the style point. I appreciate that you went into the substance of it because I think that's really the point of it. But it just didn't feel like a rally the way a Trump rally would. It felt more like a speech inside of a. And I think that's going to become the issue, right? When and if Ron DeSantis, and we expect him to announce that. That comparison to Donald Trump, who basically brings a party to the rally and has that energy.
So, by the way, Fox News is trying to do an about face, and they actually announced they were going to broadcast the rally. Is that good enough for you, ladies and gentlemen? Does that make everything okay between Trump and Fox News? I don't know. Well, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, the one man who knows everything about politics in Iowa. He is the host of his own show at KXEL, our great affiliate in Waterloo, Jeff Stein. Jeff, hey, how are you today?
I am quite well, Todd. And I'll tell you, you've been shoveling a lot of DeSantis malarkey out there. It just is not borne out by the facts. You are so right to call them out on this.
Well, I mean, look, I'm getting so much grief from the evangelical community, and they're like, how can you possibly continue to support Trump? You need to be supporting Ron DeSantis. And I'm like, well, he's not even running yet, and I'm not quite sure who he is. I mean, he's trying to be Trump. I don't know. Anyway, I want to get to the bottom of all of this. Team DeSantis says Trump has no support in Iowa, and that's the real story.
Well, that's false, because here were the situations, just so that you understand, that the audience understands. DeSantis came to Iowa to attend a fundraiser for a Western Iowa congressman. You had to pay to get in. We saw a lot of clips of that on the news where he was at the podium there. Then he went to Cedar Rapids for another paid event for the state Republican Party. They were inside. They were cloistered. They were secure. Donald Trump was going to have another rally in downtown Des Moines at a place called Waterworks Park at a lovely amphitheater, and thousands were going to attend. You have seen the merchandise tents, Todd, outside of Trump rallies when you have attended.
Oh, sure.
The same thing was the case in Des Moines. There were people attending from multiple states. At 12 noon, the heavens opened up, and according to the Des Moines airport, they got more than an inch, about an inch and a quarter of rain in 1 hour. That still did not deter folks. It was only when there was a tornado watch issued. And this was national news on the Weather Channel in the morning. The bullseye for the day went right across between 3 and 9 p.m., the site of the Trump rally. You could not have drawn a better bullseye if you tried. Now, DeSantis, after he finished his event in Cedar Rapids, made a stop in Des Moines. It's not exactly on the way back to Florida, but I guess he wanted some barbecue. And so he stopped at a place and got about 100 people to show up and said, wow, what a great night. Making fun of Trump, because as it turned out, there was no further rain or tornadoes in Des Moines, Iowa, but I would cite you one county to the south, one county to the southeast, where, Todd, there were active tornadoes touching down an hour before the president would have spoken. So can you imagine the outcry if, despite all of the warnings and predictions about weather, actual tornado touchdowns during the day as well, 18 in the state of Iowa Saturday. You imagine if he would have held an event, the grief he would have gotten, because it would have been all about Trump and his ego. It's just maddening.
Trump would have put people's lives in danger. That would have been the narrative coming out. But Trump decided, you know what, we're going to err on this side of caution here. And now the narrative coming out of Team DeSantis' world is, well, he was concerned because there wasn't a big crowd there. And Jeff, just to show you how devious the media is, a reporter went out there and took all these pictures. Hardly anybody was there. And the reason why, it was about 10 hours before the actual event was taking place.
Well, there was a reporter from Iowa, works for some of the Sinclair stations, who interviewed people as the thing was being canceled. And they were willing to come back any other day. They were there from Illinois, from Minnesota. They didn't mind getting wet in the rain. But again, it's a matter of, you had a lot of people there hours ahead of time. And again, DeSantis comes in, does a one-hour event, and leaves. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. The Trump event is an event. They were going to have speeches starting at 4 in the afternoon. Trump was taking the stage at 7. It was going to be a good four-hour event. Well, when you've got the imminent threat of severe weather, thank goodness it did not travel further north, but it very well could have. And so this I told you so, you're just not a man enough to come out in the weather routine. I mean, it's beneath the Republican voting base, frankly.
Yeah, this is the problem here is DeSantis isn't telling his people to cool it, you know, to cool their jets. So I don't know why, if he thinks this is being cool or snarky or whatever, but my take on DeSantis has always been, if you're going to call out Trump, fine, call him out by name. You know, don't hem and haw around. Don't be cute. Just be a man up, and confront him face to face.
I have great respect for his past military service and his service in elective office. But when you go along with diverting your plane halfway across the state for a late night stunt at a barbecue joint, stand on the picnic table in the parking lot and say, wow, sure is a nice night here. Glad we could all get together. That obvious reference to Trump, it's snarky. It is, again, beneath the dignity of the office. You know, and again, Trump will say some things. But to your point, you don't have to read between the lines to figure out who he's referring to.
Right. I'm curious, and by the way, folks, Jeff Stein from radio station KXEL in Iowa, Waterloo, Iowa. Jeff, what is the race shaping up to be like? Is Trump getting support? Does he have grassroots support there in Iowa?
Contemporaneous with the planned event, even though they canceled the event, Todd, they released a list of 150 supporters. And these are people in every one of Iowa's 99 counties. We got a lot of counties here, not that big a state, but we have 99 counties. And there are names of office holders, they're common ordinary citizens. It is an extensive list. By contrast, DeSantis came to the state and was able to have two people, one from the Iowa House, one from the Senate, both chambers controlled by Republicans, two high-ranking officials, however, one on each side, throw their support. So 150 to 2, in essence, if you're keeping score. The one thing that could be a problem, and this is starting to bubble up today, and it has nothing to do with the rally and the weather. It has to do with Trump criticizing DeSantis for signing or planning to sign that six-week abortion ban. Or however many days, whatever, you know the one I'm talking right. about here. Because he says, from a political standpoint, it is not tenable. And he's getting a lot of static from some, as you mentioned, on the evangelical right. Now, keep in mind, Ted Cruz won the Iowa caucuses in 2016. Trump did not win, but those people were key to him winning in November and key to his success here in 2020 and beyond. And so he has to be careful to not let certain people run away with that issue and deprive him of it. There's a difference between what is politically appropriate to get back into office, and there are those who don't have to worry about that, shall we say. And I think that's the thing to watch right now. Will some of these folks stirring the pot drive some of the evangelicals away from Trump? But then where do they go? That's the big question.
Well, I will say this, that I've been having some private conversations with a lot of these high-profile evangelicals, and I think people are going to be shocked when many of them turn on Trump. And that's going to happen, and I can't tell you, there has been so much pressure applied to me to switch my allegiance to DeSantis, and I'm not going to do it. I'm standing with Donald Trump. I believe in his policies. And from a political standpoint, Jeff, I understand what Trump is saying about this abortion issue. If the Republicans are not careful, they will lose everything if they go down this zero level of abortion. And I get it. I am pro-life. But the reality is you will gin up the Democrat base and they will turn out in droves. And they did it in the midterms. They did it in that special election in Wisconsin. So they've got to figure out the messaging on that. Otherwise, they're going to have big problems come the elections.
This, again, is a problem for Republicans with regard to governing. You go back to the Obamacare debacle. Republicans came back to power in Congress by saying, "We'll fix Obamacare." They had no plan. They had no cohesive strategy. They frittered away the opportunity, and now we're stuck with what we have. I'm feeling the same thing about this issue. And again, it's a moral issue of the greatest magnitude, and I respect that. But we're talking about morality, and we're talking about getting to an office and effect change. Who else got three Supreme Court justices confirmed so that the ruling would come down in the Dobbs case the way that it did? It's one Donald J. Trump. And I'm not saying that that gives him a free pass forever, but by gosh, he's done more for the movement than an awful lot of these people who are carping at him right now.
Oh, no doubt about it. And I do support the 6 weeks. I support that. The concern is if you go beyond that, and there have been some pro-lifers say, No, it has to be no exceptions at all, and that's it, even if the life of the mother is at risk. And I'm not sure that is going to be a winnable position for Republicans. And I get it, but at the end of the day, are you better off with Republicans in leadership in Congress or not? And that's what the pro-life movement is going to have to decide.
Absolutely. And I've had people in my studio, lawmakers, one far left, one far right, and they would be trying to take this middling position, each of them. And I would say, well, you are pro-life. Shouldn't that mean absolutely without any exceptions? Well, that's not politically tenable. Okay, how about you on the left? Why not third trimester? Well, that's not politically tenable. All right, if we're talking about a politically tenable position, then that's something that the people can weigh in on. If we're strictly talking about moral personal decisions, that's something entirely different. And that's something that voters have got to figure out right quick. Or, again, they're going to lose this opportunity to change the culture and change the feeling that we have had where life doesn't mean anything. And I'm not just talking about killing babies. I'm talking about gunning down teenagers in gangs, etc. We have this whole culture where life doesn't matter. Well, who's going to be the best person to lead the fight to restore our culture to where it needs to be?
All right. Well, Jeff, we're going to leave it there. Good insight. And I know we're going to be getting back to you very soon as all the lawmakers parade through your great state.
I've got two coming in my studio Thursday alone.
Oh, yeah. Who's coming in?
Perry Johnson, who was number three in the CPAC straw poll. He's Mr. 2% Solution. And Nikki Haley will be coming into the studio as well. So we have a spare chair here for you anytime. But
love it.
But don't go near a pizza ranch or we're going to assume you're running too.
There you go. I hear it's great pizza, though. The breakfast pizza I hear is spectacular. So.
Absolutely right.
All right. Jeff Stein, ladies and gentlemen, radio station KXEL, and he is our eyes and ears on the ground there in Iowa as we get ready for the 2024 election. Jeff, appreciate you. By the way, Rick Perry is now toying around with jumping into the race. What do you think about that? Got to take a break. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome to all of our new listeners out there across America, and we'd love for you to check out our website. Bookmark that website, toddstearns.com. All sorts of great information for you there. You can also download our newsletter and our app. By the way, you can also get our podcast all free of charge at toddstearns.com. Let's go to the phone lines. Rita from Statesville, North Carolina. Hi, Rita. What's on your mind?
Well, I've been listening to the back and forth about the abortions, and let me start by saying that me personally, I am pro-life, and I know there are exceptions to any situation per se, but I don't understand why the government has to be in the business of legislating morality, but in the fact that no one ever talks about personal responsibility before one ever got to a point to have to make a decision regarding an abortion. There's too many ways to prevent pregnancy, man or woman, to even get to that point.
Well, and the most effective way, Rita, is one they don't want to teach in public schools, which is something called abstinence.
Abstinence.
Waiting until you get married, which is what the good Lord intended.
Absolutely. But that's still another thing you cannot legislate. And we get into so many political quagmires because of moral decisions that people, it's between people and their Lord. God's forgiveness is as great as all outdoors, but we can't legislate who hates who and who loves who and who doesn't like anybody because I'm white or because someone else is black or Hispanic or Puerto Rican or green or purple. We get mired down in the mud with the stickiness of morality.
All right.
And the government is there to take care of us.
Rita, we got to leave it there. And I will say this, though, on the issue of abortion, we do have a responsibility to protect life, human life. I think we have to do that. We'll be right back, folks. This is the Todd Stern Show. Had a fun weekend. Went to the Memphis Greek Festival and had an absolute blast. The Church of the Annunciation is the Greek Orthodox congregation here in Memphis. And, man, it was a lot of fun. It was like being in the middle of that movie, My Big Fat Greek Wedding. That the food was unbelievable, and the music and the dancing, and they smashed the glass to start all the festivities, and people were, it didn't matter who you were, they were like, hey, Todd, Opa! And you yell back, Opa! And I have no idea what Opa means, but people, I think it was like howdy do or something. But anyway, I had a great time, and what I loved most is that they wanted you, the Greeks wanted you to be Greek for the day, right? It was, what is it the left says? It was, they wanted you to culturally appropriate. And it was a lot of fun. I didn't dance. I'm a Baptist. I got no rhythm. Otherwise, it was just wonderful. And the pastries, geez, hello. Unbelievable. So there you go. Let's go to the phones real quick. Daniel in Gainesville, Georgia, WDUN, our great station there. Hi, Daniel. What's going on?
Hey, Todd, how you doing today, sir?
I'm well. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, I just had a couple of comments about your conversation with Jeff. It seems really odd to me that you guys would consider what DeSantis did as far as rerouting his jet beneath the integrity of the office of president and feel the need to defend Trump from that. That's just ridiculous.
Oh, I don't think I'm understanding you. What's ridiculous?
Well, after the way Trump has gone after DeSantis, insinuating that he's a child molester and whatnot, I don't think he needs the defense. Where are you guys talking? I have yet to hear you guys say that those comments are beneath the integrity of the office and defend DeSantis from him. I'm a Trump supporter. I'm also a DeSantis supporter. And I'll say this. I will vote for Trump, but he's hurting himself every time he attacks DeSantis like he does. And I'm fine with DeSantis taking care of making himself look a little bit better under the weight of the attacks that the man with the largest megaphone in the world keep throwing it.
I see. So it's okay. It's so you're good. You're good with DeSantis attacking Trump, but not Trump attacking DeSantis.
I'm good with DeSantis defending himself after the man with the largest megaphone in the world has come after him the way he.
No. I get it. You know, I get it. Do me a favor. Turn down your radio because we're getting a little bit of feedback there. If you don't mind, Daniel. Look, here's the thing. I'm trying to remember the allegation, and I think what happened was Trump actually shared a story that had been written, a mainstream media story, about when DeSantis was a school teacher for that 1 year in Rome, Georgia. What was the name? It was a private school. And there had been some allegations made in the story itself. So I'm not sure you can say Trump was making the allegations. Trump shared the story. So if you've got a problem with Trump, then that would be the problem, is that he shared the story about DeSantis.
Well, DeSantis wasn't exactly insinuating that Trump was a coward out there either then. So if we're going to play in split hairs, let's play in split hairs. Listen, Trump, as long as Trump starts to act like he's more interested in America's legacy than Trump's legacy, I will vote for him. I'm a Trump supporter. I voted for him last time. I will vote for him this time. But he is not acting the way he did the first time he ran for office. The first time he ran for office, it was clear that America was what he was interested in. This time, it's becoming more and more evident that he's worried about his own legacy more than he is America's legacy. I want to know that Trump is still more concerned about America's legacy than Trump's legacy, because I don't give a tinker's damn about Trump's legacy.
All right, then why not just go ahead and support? Why not just go ahead and support DeSantis then, Daniel? Why not just?
I'm supporting both of them, and I will vote for either one of them that gets the nomination. But I think that both of them deserve the defense of the conservative radio talk group. Both of them equally. I think both of them should have the support of everybody out there, not the only Trump crowd.
All right, Daniel, appreciate the call, and thank you for listening. Look, here's how it works, folks. It's my radio program. I'm going to tell you who I support. If you disagree, that's great. You can call in, and you can have your say. But I've thrown in with Trump, and I will explain it again briefly to all of our new listeners. If you take away all of the phony scandals, Trump would have won a second term in office. But all of these scandals, which we now know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, have been debunked. if those had never existed in the first place, Trump would have had a second term in office. Period. That's all there is to it. And I believe, based on that alone, the man is due a second term in office. You know what? And I really appreciate the fact that he moved the embassy to Jerusalem. I appreciate the fact that he stood up for the unborn. I appreciate the fact that he stood up for religious liberty and the Second Amendment. And he tried to do something with the border. I appreciate that. Now, I know there are a lot of conservative evangelical Christians out there, and they don't think that's good enough. They think that because the guy's got a potty mouth and was talking smack about women in a bus, that somehow makes him a horrible human being, and therefore they discount all of the great things Trump did for them. Who, by the way, all these, and I will call them ungrateful evangelical leaders, who are now turning on Donald Trump. He brought these people into the White House. Not even George W. Bush did that. You think Trump's going to do that again? No, I don't think so. I don't think so. But shame on all of you. I mean, seriously, I'm not talking about the evangelical leaders here. Shame on all of you. I mean, the man made promises and he delivered on the promises. And now I saw the guy from Christianity Today, which is a far left news organization, by the way. Christianity Today is far left. And the guy, the new editor in chief, was on one of the talk shows on Sunday. And he's got his panties in a twist because of the things Trump said about this woman, E. Jean Carroll, who accused him of rape. Well, Trump was found not guilty of rape. What he was found guilty of was talking smack about her because she was lying about him raping her. So this makes absolutely no sense to me, which is why they're going to appeal and Trump is going to win. Because just put yourself in Trump's position. Somebody's out there accusing you of sexually assaulting them, and you come back and you call them sorry so-and-sos. Well, guess what? You can be charged for that now. That's what we have learned out of all of this. It's really despicable. All right, 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. I want to talk about John Morant, who is making national headlines now. He's one of the stars of the Memphis Grizzlies, and he is a troubled soul. Now, Ja grew up in a middle-class, maybe upper-middle-class family. He went to a private school when he was a kid. He had mom and dad in the household together. Clearly, mom and dad did a pretty lousy job of raising Junior because he's just all over the place now. So now Ja Morant, who has a multi-bazillion dollar contract with the NBA, getting all these endorsement deals, but he wants to embrace the thug life. And he's the challenge here is he is not a thug. He was raised in a middle-class community, for crying out loud, but now he's running around town flashing gang signs and flashing the gun. And over the weekend, he got caught on an Instagram live video flashing a gun. And he has now been suspended. And I know, Josh, you follow the Grizzlies. You're a big Grizzlies fan here. What's going on with Ja Morant?
Well, it's unfortunate. You know, Ja Morant has found himself in yet another situation where he may cost a lot of money for himself and a lot of, the Grizzlies, plans to keep winning. So obviously the video came out. He's in a car with a bunch of his friends. And the friend pans over to Ja, and he's flashing a gun. And you can see the video. He quickly tries to move it away from Ja. And obviously, you know how social media works. Once it's up, it's up. And immediately the NBA, the Grizzlies, put him under suspension. And it's under review right now for the NBA. And it seems like he's going to be under a lot of trouble with the league. He's going to be probably suspended for multiple games to start next season. And this is actually something that we were talking about on the morning show. We couldn't even play the song that was on the video.
Oh, that's a good point. When I posted a tweet about this, and I asked, is he being suspended because of the gun or the music? Because the guy and that music, it was so foul, and they were dropping the N-word every 3 seconds.
Yeah, we couldn't play it, and it's just, we did talk about, and we talk about a lot on this show, just about, and I mentioned this on the morning show, just the father figures, the roles of, fathers in the homes and stuff. And a lot of these kids, and mind you, we are in Memphis, and this is a city that has a lot of crime. And a lot of these kids, you know, they look up to rappers, they look up to athletes. And when you have Ja Morant, who inevitably kids are going to look up to him flashing guns, well, that's what the kids are going to do. The rappers are telling him that, and now the athletes apparently are telling him that too, the main star in Memphis. So when you have that, it's just not good for the NBA's image, the Grizzlies' image, and really just the image of Memphis, Tennessee as a whole. And that's something that we need to address. And at the end of the day, is he doing something illegal? That's still under investigation. But what you can't deny is that he is a role model, and a lot of kids look up to him, and that's just a bad example. And, you know, he's going to be reprimanded.
You got open carry here. So that's the, you know, again, so that's why we don't know if this was legal or not. I mean, it depends whether he's a registered gun owner. And if he is, and that video was shot in Memphis, he did nothing wrong, except he clearly has not been through the NRA gun training classes. Otherwise, he would know you don't pull out your gun unless you're going to be using it.
Yeah, that's a good point that you made. Responsible gun owners do not flash guns like that. No. It puts you in danger, puts other people in danger. That's, yeah, like you said, he needs to get some training.
And Josh,
sure.
My concern, you know, we just had the shooting of Young Dolph, the murder, assassination, whatever right. You want to call it, horrible. The concern I would have is I don't think the gang members really appreciate wannabes.
No, of course not. No, they know that this is not his league, and he is not from the streets, as they say. You don't go around flashing gang signs and guns and not expect there to be some sort of consequence. So my worry, and I guess your worry too, is, you know, it's small right now. Flashing guns on social media, mm-hmm. That's the beginning. But what happens if this goes overboard and some gang members actually take him up on it? Like, oh, you really think you're all that? You really think you're so bad? And it could get to a situation where he's out in a club or in the streets and somebody does challenge him. Somebody does pull a gun on him. And hopefully the worst, you know, doesn't happen, but it's a reality that he keeps inching himself towards to.
Interesting. I want to play some audio. This is one of our local TV sports guys. His name is Doc Holliday. I like this guy. Kind of speaks his mind. And here's what he had to say. Cut three.
So I wake up this morning. I give it, you know, my brother Jay Will text me. Asked me, have, you know, seen the Ja Morant video. I didn't know what he was talking about. Because I was just waking. So I look it up. And Ja indeed caught again. Flashing a gun. On Instagram Live. Now, let me preface this and say, you know, it's nothing legal about having a gun. But when you're Ja. And you're a role model. And we just had a situation with you like this a couple of months ago. There's no way in the world you should be seen flashing a gun. So how I feel about it, speechless. I don't have words to say. Speechless. I don't know what to say. But what I do know what to say, I'm going to talk to all the young, and I'm talking to all the young black, young royals out there, the young black boys, the young black men. Look, gun life, that ain't the life. It's nothing good about it. There's nothing flashy about it. There's nothing attractive about it. Nothing at all. I know what they produce. I know what they promote in rap. I don't like that kind of rap. It's destructive to our community. It's destructive to us because it causes a lot of us to go to prison and it causes a lot of us to go to jail. So what does that do? That increases our numbers. That causes dissension in our community. And it's time for us to speak up and speak out against that kind of stuff. Now, it's legal to have a gun. It's not illegal unless you're a felon or something. But I'm extremely disappointed that Ja was caught once again flashing a gun. I have no words. And I can tell you this, star athletes have a warped reality. They get away with things. But a lot of times, it's going to come a point in time when you're not going to get away with those things anymore. I don't know, people that know me, they know I grew up in inner city Memphis. I have six, close friends and family that went to prison for a gun charge. For murder. Not gun charge. That's a whole nother number. For murder. One of my relatives died in prison. He was in there for double murder.
My goodness.
The other five real close friends, they did an average of 23 years in prison apiece. And I'm not making this up. There's nothing cool about gun violence. There's nothing cool about flashing guns, having guns. That's not it. When I was growing up, I grew up on Run DMC, LL Cool J, Houdini, Fat Boys, that kind of music. They weren't talking about that.
That was good
but
music.
When NWA hit the scene, talking about gangs and guns. I was one of them young, ignorant ones who had a pistol as a teenager. And I was a football star because I thought it was cool. It's not cool. And yes, I'm extremely disappointed. I could go on and on, but I got to go ahead and get my hair cut. But I had to address it. Thanks for sending that to me, Jay Will.
All right. Well, there we go. That's Doc Holliday. And then he's walking into the barber shop there, did an Instagram or Facebook Live. And he's not wrong. Everything he said is true. But again, you wonder about priorities with the NBA because, yeah, while they're punishing Ja Morant for flashing the gun, they actually have a guy accused of raping a woman, and he still gets to play basketball. So can somebody explain that to me? It's the indignation is a bit selective when it comes to Adam Silver and the NBA. But again, the gun culture in this country, ladies and gentlemen, and especially in our cities like Memphis, over the weekend in Memphis, Tennessee, all right, population 1.3 million. That's the whole metro area. We had a dozen people get shot. Four people got killed. I mean, these are New York City crime numbers we're talking about. All right, we got to take a break. 844-747-8868. They're saying that he ought to get kicked out of the NBA, Ja Morant. You think that, I mean, you think that's what needs to happen? 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stern's Radio Show. By the way, just to bring this back home, I was telling you that there are a lot of evangelical leaders, and they say, you know what? Yeah, Trump is not going to be our guy. They're not willing to come out personally yet, but they're working on it. And just a few moments ago, got an email from the NRB. That's the National Religious Broadcasters. Massive, massive organization. And they just announced that Governor Ron DeSantis is going to be speaking at the NRB. So, again, do not be surprised if you see some allegiances shifting here and there. But, again, I'm going to support whoever the nominee is. That's just the bottom line. So if Ron DeSantis wants to be the nominee, well, he better get it in gear and figure out how to win. I mean, it's really that simple. All right, we got to take a quick break here, folks. Coming up, Cal Thomas is going to be here. Got a brand new book out. We're going to be talking to him. We'll be taking your calls as well. In the meantime, check out ToddStearns.com. Lots of great information for you there. And be sure to download that podcast and newsletter as well. We'll be right back, America.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Stearns.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Stearns radio program. Very happy to have you with us. We have a bit of breaking news to share with you, and this is a very strange story. Coming out of Fairfax, Virginia. And this is happening in the office of Congressman Jerry Connolly, who is a Democrat. Apparently, this morning, someone walked into the district office armed with a baseball bat and asked for the congressman. The congressman was not there, and apparently this guy started swinging that bat. And we understand that at least two staff members were injured. The individual is now in police custody, and the whoever the staff members were there for the congressman taken to a hospital, non-life-threatening injuries, which is good news. And we don't have any other information right now as to motive. I'm sure we will get that information. We're not quite sure what this is all about, other than this happened in the office of a Democrat congressman there in Virginia. So certainly hope the staffers, and normally these staffers are just kids, right? They're either out of college or just are in college doing internships, and you have to hope and pray that the kids are going to be okay. That's just a terrible situation. And we'll keep you updated if there are any other developments. All right, so there's been a big fight over guns in America. And I was reading in the American Thinker earlier today, someone sent me a link to this story, and they're saying that Tennessee is now ground zero. And the Democrats believe that if they can convince enough moderate Republicans to join them, that they might be able to implement some pretty significant gun reform laws here in the Volunteer State. And I know for those of you in Georgia or Louisiana or Oklahoma, and you're listening to this program and you're thinking, well, those people are crazy because Tennessee is a big Second Amendment state. Oh, yes, it is. But unfortunately, even though we have a supermajority of Republicans, there are a good many squishy rhinos in the mix. And one of them happens to be the governor. His name is Bill Lee. And he is advancing this red flag law legislation, calling a special session of the state legislature to address this. Now, you might remember a couple of, about a month or so ago now, you had the transgender terrorist open fire inside the Christian school. Well, the governor was friends with someone who died in the attack. So therefore, the governor's legislation is not based on fact. It's based on emotion. And it's a bad, bad situation. So here's my take on this. I mean, if in fact they are going to advance this gun grab, which is exactly what it is, a gun grab, then they have to release the manifesto of this transgender terrorist. That way we can understand the true motive behind the attack. But they're not doing that. They're not going to be releasing it. The FBI refuses to release this information to the general public. So now you're going to have lawmakers going in and trying to pass even more gun restrictions based on what? Emotion, not fact. So over the weekend, I did a little bit of homework, and I thought, well, all right, let's take a look at what the Tennessee gun laws actually state. And ladies and gentlemen, we have a pretty rock-solid gun law in the state of Tennessee. There are rules and regulations determining who may or may not get a gun license. Now, Tennessee is an open carry state, and that's caused a lot of chaos as well. But the reality is, if you are a convicted criminal under Tennessee law, you cannot get a gun. If you are a mentally ill person or you have been hospitalized over the past 10 years, you are not allowed to get a gun. So my question to the governor, and I've invited the governor to come on our program to explain all of this, but the governor is very thin-skinned. So if you ever criticize the governor, you're on the out list. So I'm persona non grata at the state capitol right now, and I'm okay with that. But the governor refuses to sit down and answer any tough questions about this legislation. And my question is very simple. Governor, what law would have prevented the shooting at that Christian school? What law would have prevented that from happening? Because we know from the police that this individual was not on anybody's radar, didn't have a criminal record. Nobody knew anything about her at all. So now you have Kamala Harris coming out there. And so all of this is not happening in a vacuum. They see an opportunity in Tennessee to grab the guns. Kamala Harris was speaking over the weekend, and here's what she had to say about all of you people who believe you should have a right to open carry, cut number 5.
These extremists dare claim to be for life. But instead of acting to save lives from gun violence, extremists, state by state, made it legal to open carry a gun without even a permit or background check.
Well, that's just simply not true. And she's a liar. And not only that, she's also a terrible public speaker. But Kamala Harris says, all you people who believe in open carry, well, you people are extremists. That's what she says. So tomorrow here in Memphis, so this is what's happening statewide. They want to implement these red flag laws. And one of the state reps, he ran into me over the weekend, and he was not very happy because he's a Republican and he's supporting the governor's gun grab. And the guy goes on and on about, we can't have crazy people running around with guns. Well, I completely agree with that. And by the way, that happens to be in the current law. So my question to all of you Republicans out there who want to take away our guns, why aren't you just enforcing the laws that are already on the books? Nobody wants to answer that question. It seems like a very simple question to ask, right, ladies and gentlemen? It's not some sort of a gotcha question, right? It's just a very straightforward question. We've already got laws on the books addressing those issues. Why are you not enforcing the laws? So over the weekend in Memphis, Tennessee, we had a dozen people get shot, four people killed. A couple of those killed and wounded happen to be kids, small kids. I think the youngest 10 years old. Terrible situation. So there's a beautiful part of Memphis called Harbor Town. It's right there on the Mississippi River. It's a beautiful upscale community. Very well-to-do people live there. They have a little grill there called Tugs, riverboat themed, you know. So anyway, people there enjoying themselves, and all of a sudden, gunfire breaks out. You have, I think, three guys with AR-15s tried to rob somebody. One of the people who wants to be the next mayor of Memphis, her mother and sister were at the restaurant when all of this went down, cut number 7.
Okay, yeah. And so there are all sorts of people who were nearby, who were walking by, who were dining. All of my family's belongings are still at the restaurant because they had to jump up and run. My 85-year-old mother had to literally, her purse, her cell phone, everything is still there at Tugs.
People are running out of their shoes. Okay.
Running out of their shoes to get out of.
To get out, jumping over.
And, you know, this is what everybody's talking about. This is exactly what we're all talking about. Something has got to stop. This is insane. I mean,
you can't even go to a restaurant, you know, and sit outside on a early summer evening.
And like, you know, no one's immune to this.
Well, it's true, but we've been talking about that for ages. So I'll give you an example of what's happening here, because we have a George Soros district attorney by the name of Steve Mulroy. He's also a big Star Trek fan, and he dresses up in costume and he pretends he's a member of the Starship Enterprise. He does that whole Vulcan thing with his fingers, live long and prosper. I don't get it. No, he doesn't have the pointy ears, I don't think, Dylan. Typically, I'm not looking at another man's ears or earlobes, for that matter. But I'll see the next time I run into the guy. So anyway, a couple of weeks ago, we had another shooting. So a cop, an off-duty cop, this is in a very nice part of Memphis, upscale part of Memphis. So there's an off-duty cop, and he sees these three thugs, and they're trying to break into a car and steal it. Side note here. Do you know how many cars have been stolen so far this year in New York City? One of the largest cities in the world, about 4,000 cars have been stolen. You know how many cars have been stolen in Memphis, Tennessee since the first of the year? Over 5,000 cars. It's insane. So anyway, off-duty cop says, hey, stop what you're doing. And the guys turn around and they start shooting. I mean, it was like the wild, wild west. We have the video up at toddstearns.com. I mean, guns, bullets were flying everywhere. People in this restaurant called Huey's, great hamburgers, they dropped to the ground. The staff putting themselves in harm's way. They're trying to shove people into freezers to save everybody's lives. It's horrible. So they finally arrest one of the guys. They still have their other two, they're on the loose. But they arrested this one guy. And because of bail reform, he was let go. Guess what happened? Guy gets arrested for trying to steal somebody's car again. So they throw the guy in jail. Cops are doing what they're supposed to be doing. And guess what happens? They post the bail and it's like, I don't know, $50 or something. It was so low that the guy, so now he's back out on the street again. This guy tried to assassinate a Memphis police officer and he's back out on the streets. This is what bail reform looks like. This is what life looks like in a city controlled by radical progressives. And just like on Chicago's South Side, you have all these black citizens, and we're a majority black city, beautiful, decent, good, hardworking people, church-going people here. But Lord love them, they all vote Democrat. If Jesus Christ came down from earth, came down to earth and was a registered Republican running for mayor, they would vote for the Democrat. That's, I'm telling you, it's insane. But the whole point of this is, at some point you have to say, enough is enough, right? You have to say, enough is enough. Got to send a message. And my recommendation to the good people of Memphis, you've got an election coming up for the mayor's office. Vote for the Republican guy. Vote for the guy who's going to be tough on crime. By the way, Barack Hussein Obama is now weighing into all of this. I'm telling you, this is a war on Tennessee right now. Barack Hussein Obama talking about gun ownership in America. Listen very closely to what he had to say. Cut number 12.
Look, I think somehow, and there are a lot of historical reasons for this, gun ownership in this country became an ideological issue mm-hmm. and a partisan issue in ways that it shouldn't be. It has become sort of a proxy for arguments about our culture wars, you know, urban versus rural. Race is always an element in these issues. Issues of, you know,
class
and education and so forth. And so instead of just taking a very practical approach, like we do, let's say, for example, with car safety,
right,
where we say, all right, we got a bunch of accidents, let's have seatbelts
and let's
make cars safer and let's engineer roads so that we prevent them. Instead of thinking about it in a very pragmatic way, we end up really arguing about identity and emotion and all kinds of stuff that does not have to do with keeping our children safe.
All right. Let me break this down for you. Barack Hussein Obama was a constitutional law professor. Let me repeat that. Barack Hussein Obama was a constitutional law professor. And here you just had Barack Obama say that gun ownership is a growing ideological and partisan issue. Ladies and gentlemen, that is simply a false statement. Gun ownership is a Second Amendment right. And for this man, a former president of the United States of America, to come out and say gun ownership is some sort of an idea, that's a load of malarkey, ladies and gentlemen. You have a constitutionally protected right. They're coming after the guns. I told you, folks, they're coming after the guns. We got to take a break. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, Daniel is listening to us on Nuga Radio in beautiful Chattanooga, Tennessee, but I think Daniel's on the Georgia side of that border. Hey, Daniel, what you got for us today?
Well, Todd, I just want to say, if these politicians that's calling for our guns, if they'll come forward and say, hey, I've fired all my security here at home, I've fired all my security at work, and I put my guns in the furnace, then they may have a little right to come and ask to take ours.
I'll go a step further, Daniel. I think they also have to, if they have special security badges that open up the doors, I think those need to go away, keep everything unlocked so that just anybody can walk in right off the streets.
Amen, Mr. Todd. That's all I had to say about it, brother.
Daniel, I appreciate your calling, and thank you. And just under 30 seconds, you literally exposed the hypocrisy of these very well-protected members of Congress. Rules for us, rules for them. Let's go to Rebecca in Maine, WLOB. Hey, Rebecca, what's on your mind?
Hey, Mr. Starnes. First of all, two things for Kamala Harris. That would be a copy of the Constitution. I think that you can get it from BAM for about $3. And a membership to Toastmasters would probably benefit her a lot.
That's great.
That being said, I agree completely with what you said. To enforce the laws that are on the books, we don't need to add any more laws. Matter of fact, I think we need to, you know, adjust a few of them, i.e. how fast people get bailed out, the fact that we've got that heroic gentleman in the Marine in New York that has been arrested for doing what he was trained to do. that police officer, if he had killed those people, he would be in the same situation as the gentleman in New York. I mean, we are out of control, and just, you know, and having Obama step up and talk, because this is all part of that New World Order that he's involved in. And as far as the people in your fine state of Tennessee, if they are pushing for gun control, they are no longer representing the Republicans of this fine country. They are representing the Uniparty and or the Woke Party.
Yeah, I'm with you there, Rebecca, and a lot of wise words. But it's really sad to know that there are Republicans who are willing to betray their voters, their constituents, to get along with the Democrats. And again, this is all based on emotion. And if they're gonna pursue legislation, we've got to see the manifesto. We've got to see it.
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
Rebecca, appreciate that call. All right, hang tight, folks. We're coming up on the bottom of the hour break. Cal Thomas is going to be here. The great columnist has a brand new book out. We're going to be talking to him. We're also going to be taking your calls. 844-747-8868. Toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Stick around, everybody. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Program, and we are rescheduling the Cal Thomas interview. Not sure what happened there, but these things happen. It is what it is. It's live radio. But we'll be heading to your calls in just a moment. I got to tell you, though, about our friends over at Newsmax. They are conducting an urgent poll right now, and they want to know a very simple question. Do you want Tucker Carlson on Newsmax TV? Newsmax, of course, believes in Tucker and freedom of speech, and Newsmax is the fastest-growing cable news channel in America. Millions of people are turning off Fox for Newsmax, and it's true, the ratings for Fox are just in the toilet. It's terrible. So it's super simple to vote for the Newsmax poll. All you have to do is get out your smartphone and text the word SKIP to 39747. That's SKIP to 39747, and you can let America know that you want Tucker Carlson on Newsmax. So let your voice be heard by texting the word SKIP to 39747. All right, let's go back to our phone lines. John in Kentucky, what's on your mind, John?
Hey there, Mr. Starnes. First of all, you know what? Those Republicans that want to enact gun laws in your wonderful state, the volunteer state there, you know, there's a term they used to use a long time ago, over 100 years ago. The term carpetbaggers and scallywags seem to come into play here.
Yes.
And, you know, I got this idea, and I'm going to want to hear your opinion on it. How about your listeners, and they're also cowards. In Britain, when they used to have cowardice, they would send them white feathers and little tiny carpetbags. Why don't your audience send it to those Republicans that want to do that, including the governor? Just a thought, Todd. God bless you, and have yourself a great day, Todd.
All
love
right.
you, brother.
Well, thank you, John, and appreciate you calling in from the Commonwealth of Kentucky. Wow, that's great. But, folks, it's again, you just have to stay alert. You have to stay diligent, and sooner or later, you know, our elected leaders are going up. They're going to get it. And if they don't, we're going to have to boot them right out of office. It really is. It really is that simple. All right. I want to play some audio. This is a guy who is very upset because we celebrated Mother's Day yesterday. And I hope you and your mom, your grandmom, you had a great time. And the restaurants around Memphis were filled. But anyway, this guy is transgender. And he's a big fella, weighs, I don't know, I would say probably somewhere north of 350, 400 pounds. He's a big fella, and he identifies as a woman. And so he's very upset because he's not being recognized on Mother's Day, cut number one.
Okay, so Mother's Day is tomorrow, and this is the second day.
All right,
day
can we stop for just a moment? Can we? this is a dude who says he's a woman, right? I just want you to understand. All right, continue.
Okay, so Mother's Day is tomorrow, and this is the second day that's rolled around. There's two different days in the year that I question. There's Mother's Day and there's Father's Day. As a trans person, as a trans woman, which one do I celebrate? Father's Day rolled around. I don't feel like a father. Mother's Day is tomorrow. I feel like a mom, but who celebrates me? It's not a situation of pity me or anything. I just genuinely want to know, is there other people out there that you don't know which one you fall under? Are you a mom? Are you a dad? Where's Parents Day? Why can't we just have a Parents Day? Like, you're a parent, that's worth celebrating. Why does it have to be one or the other? It actually bothers me a lot, and I didn't think about that till today, and I don't know.
Well, I got a little emotional there. All right. Well, I hope you can help us out here, ladies and gentlemen. And I don't mean to be short, but I do have a response to this person who, by the way, he doesn't, you know, a lot of these guys, you got to give him credit. At least he still has his man parts in, as far as the vocal cords go, right? Because normally when you've got a transgender dude and he's like, oh, hello, I'm a woman because I have a flighty voice, so I'm a woman, and you must accept me as a woman. But no, not this guy. Hello, my name is Sally, and I'm a woman because I say I'm a woman, and even though I can't give birth to children, I want you to call me a mother because my name is Sally, and I'm a big mother. And so I appreciate that, but let me just see if I can't clear this mess up here. Sir, you are a dude, sir. That's all there is to it. Just ask yourself the following question. Do you pee standing up? If the answer is yes, well, guess what? You're a dude. If the answer is no, thank you, ma'am. It really is that simple, right? Right? I mean, I'm just trying to. It's not that difficult, ladies and gentlemen. It really is not that difficult. Where is the story? Ah, yes. I am curious. I know we have a lot of young people that listen to the program, and we're going to have a lot more once school lets out. There's a new survey out, and this new survey says that conservative teenagers are happier than liberal teenagers. Do you find that to be the case? This is from Fox News, and I'm not going to recommend reading this story. I don't know who wrote the story, but it's horribly written. But here's the bottom line. Conservative teens are generally happier than their liberal peers. This is according to a study by the Ivy League University, Columbia University. Now, according to the study, conservative teens are more likely to be patriotic and religious. And later in life, they are more likely to be happily married and less likely to divorce. So this is the study from Columbia. I am shocked that Columbia did this study. One journalist pondered this question, why are young liberals so depressed? And he suggested that people dealing with anxiety or depression aren't usually totally untethered from reality. But instead of changing the things they can change and seeking the grace to accept the things they can't, they're dwelling unproductively as problems fester. So basically, liberal kids are nut jobs, right? And conservative kids are not. But I'm curious if you've discovered that in your life, that conservative young people are happier than liberal young people. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our good buddy from WRVA, our great affiliate in Richmond, Virginia, joins us, Jeff Katz. And Jeff, we had a little bit of breaking news from the Commonwealth. We understand that Congressman Connolly's office got attacked by some guy with a baseball bat. You got any intel for us?
Yeah, I'm hearing the same thing, Todd. And what I'm hearing is coming from the congressman's office. They're talking about someone armed with a baseball bat entering his district office, which is in Fairfax. And what I've been able to find out, it's the city of Fairfax as opposed to the county of Fairfax. We've got some odd systems here in the Commonwealth, but a lot of places have the same names, even though they're not the same jurisdictions. The district office is, like most congressional district offices, Todd, just wide open. I mean, anybody can go in there at any point. Connolly is, like all of Northern Virginia, quite frankly, a fairly left-wing Democrat, and I haven't been able to get any further information. There's not much coming from the police department. Everybody is being steered over towards the congressman's office, and the congressman's office is describing it, quote, as an act of violence.
Yeah, and apparently the guy came in looking for the congressman, and when he wasn't there, right. I guess he just hauled off, and you have to imagine he hit somebody with the baseball bat.
Yeah, and my understanding is that he made contact with one, perhaps two of the staffers. He is in custody. They did arrest him.
Oh, good.
They've recovered. Yeah, they have recovered the baseball bat, and the staffers, from what I've seen, were seen at the hospital, treated, and I do believe they have been released. It wasn't, obviously it's never good to be attacked with a baseball bat, but apparently not life-threatening injuries or particularly serious injuries, and the police in the city of Fairfax are also letting everybody know, this is one of the details they are passing along, that they responded very quickly, probably 2 to 3 minutes to the congressman's office.
So response is starting to creep out. Jennifer Wexton weighing in. I think she represents what, the 10th congressional district there in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
She says this act of violence against Jerry Connolly's constituent services staff makes me sick. Everyone on Team Connolly and my thoughts today. I wish those injured a quick recovery. And, of course, thanking the Fairfax police for their swift response. But, again, as of now, we have no indication of why this guy did what he did. I do see that people already starting to blame Republicans on social media. Ugh, what a cesspool Twitter is.
Todd, so here's my latest, actually. So now I'm seeing that the two staffers apparently are hospitalized, that they're going to be staying in the hospital, but again, it's described as non-life-threatening injuries. You, as you're seeing on social media, of course, it is already being blamed on former President Trump and MAGA supporters and anybody else who is not a member of the Northern Virginia political alignment, which, to be perfectly blunt, is about as far to the left as you can possibly get. Now, that being said, I have not seen anything reliable or credible about the attacker that would indicate any sort of connection to anything political. But I am sure if that exists, given the nature in Northern Virginia and the political activism up there, we will certainly hear about it.
All right. By the way, before I let you go, I know we're going to see each other in a couple of weeks at the Talkers Convention in New York City.
Yeah.
But Washington Post they called me about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and they said, hey, we want to interview you for a story. And I thought, oh, geez, Lou, I don't know about this cat. So I agreed. They were doing a whole thing on AM radio and whether or not AM radio was going to survive. And so the story came out over the weekend. It is a very long story. And they interview our good buddy Michael Harrison from Talkers.
Oh, great.
And then they interviewed me, and actually they got my quotes right, which I'm pretty thankful for. And they did it nice. They gave me 1, 2, 3, 4, four paragraphs. But
wow,
I know, right? I was shocked. But they identified me as Todd Starnes, a right wing commentator. They couldn't resist.
They can't help themselves. And I got to be honest with you. When you said the Washington Post called you, I was waiting to hear what they called you. And then I realized, oh, it was an actual phone call where they wanted to talk with you.
No, that's a fair point there, Katz. But anyway, I will say this. They quoted me, and they asked why I love AM radio. I know this is kind of quirky. I said, there's something about getting in the car and turning on AM radio. I love the crackle. You know what I'm talking about? You get that? I just love
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
I don't know.
Oh, my God, Todd. Yeah, that's one of the beautiful things. I know everybody loves crystal clear audio, but boy, to get in that car and have to dial it in a little bit and be off a little bit one way or the other and hear the crackle, it takes me back to some very good times in my life. But I don't know about you. I'm worried. All of this movement now, we have electric vehicles that can't travel more than a couple of hundred miles, and AM radio disappearing. And why would anybody want to keep us from traveling or communicating or being armed? I don't know.
Yeah, imagine that. Mm. And they want to take away our way to communicate with each other, which is what radio is all about. So
that's exactly right.
Got to put all the puzzle pieces together. All right, Katz. I look forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks.
That sounds great, Todd. I am anxious to see you as well.
All right. Our good friend, ladies and gentlemen, Jeff Katz. Also, you hear him as the fill-in host, not only on this program, but also the Glenn Beck program. So Jeff is a highfalutin in the world of radio. All right. We got to take a quick break. Coming back, this is the Todd Stern Show. All right, so President Biden was over at Howard University, the historically black college university, and instead of encouraging the young people to go out and be great patriots and do great things and claim their American dream, the president doubled down on critical race theory and basically tried to start a race war. Cut number six.
Stand up against the poison. White supremacy, as I did my inaugural address, to a single out as the most dangerous terrorist threat to our homeland is white supremacy.
Oh, my ears.
And I'm not saying this because I'm at a black HBCU. I say it wherever I go.
No, he's saying it because he's at a black school. That's why. And by the way, he wasn't the only one. This was apparently a White House talking point over the weekend. Here is Homeland Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, cut number nine.
The president yesterday at his commencement address for the Howard University graduates called white supremacy the major domestic terror threat in this country. Is that correct?
It tragically is. You know, in the terrorism context, domestic violent extremism is our greatest threat right now. Individuals are driven to violence because of ideologies of hate, anti-government sentiments, false narratives, personal grievances, and the like. And regrettably, we have seen a rise in white supremacy.
All right. He's full of crap, and so is the president. It's simply not true. As a matter of fact, I find it shocking that the Secretary for Homeland Security says that white supremacy is a greater threat than the 400,000 people a month that are coming across our border unvetted. For goodness sakes, ladies and gentlemen, they just arrested an Afghan national who's on the terror watch list. So while all this was going on, and this is just coincidental, I'm sure, there was a group called the Patriot Front Group. I have never heard of these people. I don't know who they are. But you had all of these white guys marching side by side, hauling upside down American flags, wearing khaki pants, blue shirts, and white face masks covering their entire face. Now, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out this was not coincidental. And it looks to me like you've got about, I don't know, 150, 200 FBI agents who are out there marching through the streets doing cosplay, pretending to be white supremacists, because something is not right about all of this. I will say this, you know, these guys have been arrested in air quotes in the past. And you know, it's interesting. They never take the mask off, the arresting cops. They never take the masks off. Isn't that weird? Normally, the police would do something like that. They would take the masks off. It's almost as if the FBI doesn't want us to know it's really them. All right, been a great day. We're going to do this all over tomorrow. Be good, America.
three-star general, Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.